Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. We'll read verses 26 through 32 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 32. Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 32. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. But let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And let's finish on verse 32 together. Ready? And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, this morning, just a beehive of activity and buses running and people teaching and the Sunday school class hour and junior churches and the nurseries and, Lord, so many things. And yet all of the preparation, all of the work, all of the hours were for this moment. Lord, please help us to focus on the preaching of your book. Lord, please fill our preacher, our man of God. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, so we may be a little bit more like you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning's sermon finds its root in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we read it earlier where the Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Recently, I noticed a person in the place where I just happened upon, and I noticed someone. Well, I don't know how to say it other than this someone is someone that had hurt me. They had said and done something that was hurtful to me, not a church member. I glanced over and I seen them and I noticed that they saw me. They were in a hurry to leave, but I walked over to them. I walked over to them and they said, "Oh, Brother Owens, do I ever owe you an apology?" And I said, "Don't you worry. Your hurt was not deeper than my love for you." Was I hurt? Yes, I was. But the hurt did not hurt me deeper than my love for that person. I said, "We're okay. I would have no reason in the world to hold a grudge of any sort against you. For me to do that would make it awful, awful unfair, because my God's never held anything against me now that I'm saved." We laughed, we shook hands, and everything was all right. The topic of forgiveness is a wonderful topic. No matter how many sermons we've heard about forgiveness, we always need to hear one more. Listen to these verses, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." Notice the word forgiveness is used 5 times in one verse. That might be a good one for some of you to memorize. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Notice, it says the words there, "even as Christ forgave." earlier in Ephesians 4:32, it said, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave. Luke chapter 6, verse number 37 and 38 says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together. And running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Funny how God mentions you ought to forgive and you will be forgiven. Then he goes into one of the most popular verses about giving. We often hear that verse, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. We often apply that to the subject of giving our money, and it does apply. But it's really saying you better learn how to forgive so people will forgive you. You give forgiveness and forgiveness can be given back to you. And it can be given back to us in abundance. And just so you know, anybody here that's been saved, you've been given forgiveness in abundance, good measure, shaken down, pressed together, and running over. And your forgiveness is still running over with your God in the way He forgave you. Matthew 6:14, it says, for if you forgive man their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Psalm 686 verse 5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Hey, that says there, notice it says that thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. I believe that God is sitting on the edge of his seat desiring to forgive. Said he's ready to forgive, just ready to forgive. Folks, y'all listen to me. I know the people that sit in this auditorium. There are people in this auditorium that desperately need the sermon I'm about to preach. No marriage survives without forgiveness. No family will ever be peaceful unless forgiveness is practiced in that family. No friendship will be spiritually solid without forgiveness. No church staff is safe without forgiveness. No Sunday school class will thrive unless there is forgiveness among its members. No ministry will truly be blessed to the magnitude that God wants to bless a ministry unless there's forgiveness in that ministry. No place of employment will be tolerable unless somebody learns how to forgive. No church will have God's hand upon it unless the people understand forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32, it said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God. Notice, forgiving one another, even as God. Forgiving one another, even as God. We are to forgive. How are we to forgive? According to this scripture, even as God. You and I are to forgive the way God forgives, even as God. It says there in Ephesians 4:32, even as God. Another passage that I read to you, it said even as Christ. But you and I are to forgive as God. God is our great example. God's our great example about forgiveness. The sermon this morning is entitled, Forgiveness Even as God. All that we do, we are to do even as God. God is to be our standard. There are some here today that you would say, you know, I've got this friend and I forgive as much as my Christian friend does. You're using the wrong standard. You're not to forgive like your friend forgives. You're to forgive like God forgives. You say, I'm married and we're having a rough time. I've forgiven as much as my husband would forgive or as much as my wife would forgive. You're not to forgive as much as your husband would forgive. You're not to forgive as much as your wife would forgive. You're to forgive as much as God. Even as God. Even as God. It is time for Christianity to raise its standard and stop comparing ourselves among ourselves and be like Jesus. God is merely asking here that we give like we have received. That we give what, Brother Owens? Forgiveness. Like we have received. Do you realize, folks, for you and I not to forgive each other is totally unreasonable? How could we not forgive each other when God has forgiven us? How could imperfection not forgive imperfection when perfection, who is God, can forgive you, which is imperfection? The sermon is called Forgiveness, Even As God. I think we're to forgive even as God because of love. Because of love. We know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you and I are to forgive even as God, then we must figure out, why does God forgive? Well, we've heard it all of our lives. God forgives us. Why? Because God loves us. And God loves you, my friend. And God loves me. I could give you no better news today, but to remind you that God loves you. And God forgives us because God loves us. That means if you and I are going to forgive even as God, God forgave because God loved. And if we're going to forgive for the same reasons, and if we're going to forgive like God forgives, you're going to be a forgiver because you love. Because you love. If you love right, you will forgive right. A lack of forgiveness is a proof of a lack of love. And so some of you that you're not forgiving well, your problem is your problem is that you don't love right. God loves. God is love. And because God loves man, God forgives man. God does not forgive man because God's real impressed with man. God did not forgive you because he looked at you and said, boy, you're so pure and you're so wonderful and you're so magnificent. I think I'll forgive you. God forgave you because God loves you. One of the reasons that you don't forgive is because you don't love like you ought to love. Some of you young people that are mad at your parents right now, your lack of forgiveness is because you don't love mama like you ought to love mama, and you don't love daddy like you ought to love daddy. And some husbands and wives in here that are unforgiving to each other, your problem is not the hurt that was inflicted. Your problem is there is a diluted love in your relationship. If you love God right, you will forgive right. If you love people right, you will forgive right. If you love the Bible right, you will forgive right. The problem with a lack of forgiveness is a lack of love. The great lover of our soul is the great forgiver. And so, forgive, even as God, because of love. Secondly, as I thought through this, forgiving even as God, even as Christ, we should forgive even as God because of what we are. You should forgive because of what you are. Listen to this verse. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Notice it said there, ye which are spiritual. It's saying you may have to be more spiritual than the person that needs forgiven. Think through that for a moment. You have to be more spiritual than the person that needs forgiven. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. You see, God forgives because of what he is, not because of what we are. You ought to thank God for that. And if we are going to forgive even as God, then we are going to have to forgive, not because of the object's quality, but because of what you are. I need to forgive because of what Jeff Owens is. And you need to forgive because of what you are. You don't forgive because of the quality of the object or the recipient. You are to forgive because of what you are. And God forgives because God is pure. And God forgives because God is love. And God forgives because God is spiritual. So you don't forgive because they're spiritual. You forgive because you're spiritual. We're not to forgive because they love us. We are to forgive because we love them. See, it's forgiveness in its highest form is on the basis of the one doing the forgiving. You forgive because you're close to God, not because they're close to God. You see, forgiveness even as God then means that you and I are to forgive because of what we are. You've heard the verse time and time again. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Do you understand that Christ died for you and for me? He did it knowing that we were sinners, knowing that we would continue to sin. Folks, there are only two kinds of sinners in this world, saved sinners and lost sinners. Jesus knew that none of us would reach a state of perfection until He brought us to heaven and got us out of this sin-cursed world, which means Jesus died for you when you were a lost sinner, knowing that once you became a saved sinner, you would continue to hurt Him. And He said, "I'll forgive you even though I know you might hurt me again." Why? Because of what He is. You need to learn to forgive because of what you are, not because of the object. That is, if you would like to step up and be a good Christian. If you want to waller in the filth and the muck and the mire of those that are the carnal part of Christianity, that it's a "you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours" kind of a Christianity, you can thank God that's not God's philosophy. And God forgave us, not because of us, but God forgave us because of God. And if we are going to forgive even as God, then we're going to have to step up a little bit. Salvation's forgiveness was not because of what we were, it's because of what He was. And so, He said, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." And we are to forgive even as God. Why? Because of love and because we love people. And we are to forgive even as God because of what we are. And thirdly, forgiveness. Forgive even as God because it's best for the recipient. Because it is best for the recipient. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse number 7 says, "So that contrariwise you ought to rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with over much sorrow." You know what God is saying here? You ought to forgive. Why? You ought to forgive, and it says, lest they should be swallowed up with much sorrow. Here God's recommending to you and I that we forgive people so that their life is not overwhelmed in sorrow, because if they've hurt you, they are down in their spirit, and you ought to forgive for their sake. You ever heard this? Do what's best for the other guy. Is that too big for you, Christian? Do what's best for the other guy. I'll tell you something. We don't forgive thinking that it's good for us. Let me ask you a question. Why don't you forgive? Why? "They hurt me." There's your favorite word. Me.
Right. Come on. Yes, sir.
That's what it's really all about, isn't it? It's all about you. See, we get this idea that if we don't forgive, that's good for us. What fulfillment did you get from that? What are you getting out of it? Are you letting us know your high level of Christian character? How so? You see, we get this idea that if we don't forgive, that's good for us. Not really. Actually, that will destroy you. If you sit in this auditorium, I don't know anybody like this, but you sit in this auditorium and say, "Brother Owens, I hate you. I just hate you. I hate you." Listen, if all I do is spend my time thinking about the fact that you hate me, you know what's going to happen to me? I'll self-destruct. If you want to toss and turn at night because of your emotions and how you feel, go ahead. I'm not going to spend my time not forgiving you because I don't want to be as miserable as you. See, you can forgive someone so you can live with yourself. With yourself. I don't think that forgiveness is condoning wrongdoing. I don't think when God forgave you, He was saying, well, what you did's okay. I don't think that. I think what He was saying is, I love you in spite of the fact that you did wrong. I want you to do right, but I still love you. You see, those of us that won't forgive, there's a certain amount of self-centeredness in it. People don't forgive because they're stingy. People don't forgive because they're self-centered. We don't forgive because we're demanding something for ourselves. Good Christians want to do what's best for the other guy. That's what good Christians do. And so, forgiveness, even as God. Even as God, we forgive out of love. Even as God, we forgive because it's what we are, not because of the object. Even as God, we forgive because it is best for the recipient. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive them and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. And here God is saying, you go forgive that person, and that way they won't be swallowed up from sorrow. You know, it sure is. It alleviates some pressure and some depression in somebody's life when they know somebody forgave them for their wrong. I can't tell you how many times when people hurt me, I try to make sure they know I'm okay. I'm not mad at you. I'm not your enemy. It's better for them. It's better for them. My enemies know that they can see me down at Walmart and I'll be friendly and kind and not spiteful and I'm not attacking them and I'm not angry with them and I don't hate them. It's better for them. Don't you want to do what's better for them? Am I a voice crying in the wilderness? Is it too heavy? Is there too much here? Even as God, are we raising the bar so it is not a human standard, but raising the bar so it is a God standard in regard to our behavior toward one another? Number four, forgiveness even as God because of Christ. We're to practice forgiveness even as God. And God said, He said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, God forgave for Christ's sake. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we're to forgive. You need to forgive for Jesus. It's what He wants. Forgive because it's best for the recipient. Like I said a moment ago. Hey, forgive because it's best for you. But not only that, you need to forgive because it's best for Jesus. Folks, we'll have to remember something. Jesus gave His all for our forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act that Jesus highly values and deserves His children practice for Him. You understand how much Jesus gave that you and I might be forgiven? Well, I'm going to guess that if Jesus gave to the uttermost so that you and I could be forgiven, He probably then deserves that you and I mimic His behavior and that you and I, as His children, carry on the family tradition and that you and I are a good example to a lost and dying world about the subject of forgiveness. Now, folks, let me tell you something. We have a wonderful revival going on at our church, and in the month of June, almost 200 people coming to Jesus Christ as personal Savior. 200 people come receiving Christ. 200 people came to receive the forgiveness of God. But I'll tell you something, you just let a church not forgive, and they don't forgive within the church. I'll promise you the people on the outside of the church will know there's not forgiveness inside the church, and then they will reject the church and reject Jesus Christ as Savior, because if forgiveness is not portrayed within, they're going to stay without. Look, You can go to the world and live in your hateful, nasty, begrudging, backstabbing, hateful ways. You can get that in the world. That's where people live at work, and that's where people live in the community, and that's where people live that are unsaved. Why would anybody want to go to a church where people can't forgive? Why not just stay in the world? Stay out there where that's just the norm. They expect better. Well, and they ought to get better. Why? Even for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake is what he said. Be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Again, forgiveness is an act that Jesus highly values, and he deserves it. His children practice it. I have a question for you. Listen very carefully. Let the Holy Spirit speak to some of you deep in your heart. See if we can get past some of your hard-heartedness. How is it that Jesus can forgive some people that you won't? How is it that Jesus can forgive some people, but you won't? Who do you think you are? You want to explain that to me? You want to explain how our perfect God could have forgiven someone that you still won't forgive? Maybe you think you are the standard and not Jesus. No, Jesus is a standard. Lift him up. Do it his way. Do what you do for Jesus Christ. Huh. I'm always amazed. Us humans, sometimes we get too big for our own spiritual britches. Well, sometimes we get to thinking that, you know, we've got the right angle on the Christian life. Jesus has the right angle on the Christian life. None of us have arrived. Jesus has arrived. Thank God for our church and thank God for the revival-like atmosphere. And people come here and they say, what a sweet spirit. What a wonderful, wonderful spirit this church has. And I want to keep that spirit. And the only way you keep it is that sermons like this keep us from doing something stupid in the next week or the next month. You don't want to destroy that. And you could be a contributor to the destruction of the spirit of a local New Testament church in revival. You could make your contribution just like anybody else. It's a rarity, but I happen to know there are at least two people in this church that haven't gotten along for 8 years. Isn't that carnal? You say, well, they hurt me. You've not hurt anybody? Really? Really, everybody involved hurt Christ. You're not the issue. Jesus is the issue. His church is the issue. The winning of the lost is the issue. And though I get as particular as that, thank God we have a group of forgiving people. This is a wonderful church. And we know it. It's a strong church and a loving church. But may I remind you, God said, I'm going to forgive for Christ's sake. You see, the subject of forgiveness is a big one. Forgive even as God because we love. Forgive even as God because of what we are. Forgive even as God because it is best for the recipient. Forgive even as God for Christ's sake, just like God did. Number 5, forgiveness even as God because he wants to use people. Because he wants to use people. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, the Bible says this, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Some people would misinterpret that scripture and say right there, there's the preordaining of someone to be saved. That's not what it said. It said that we were preordained or we were pre-expected to do good works. And say that you were pre ordained to be saved. Now, but listen to that. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Folks, you and I, we were created to work for Him. He forgives us to use us. Just so you know, you were not just saved so you didn't go to hell. You were saved to serve. You were saved to be used. You were saved because God had a plan for your life, and that plan included service to Him. Matter of fact, everything you do in your life ought to be a part of His plan for you to serve Him. You weren't given a life for you to go do what you want with it. You were given a life in a plan that God had for your life. And our God is a God of a second chance. God forgives us because He wants us to be used. When God forgave you at salvation, He forgave you so He could use you. And then throughout your salvation, as God continues to forgive you, He forgives you over and over and over again. Not just to exercise forgiveness, but because He wants to use you over and over and over again. We should forgive one another because it ought to be our desire that people be used again. And that people be used just like God. Remember, forgiveness, even as God. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." You know, you should want people to serve God. You say, "Preacher, why do you forgive?" I try to forgive for the reasons that God told me for to give. You say, "Do you always like it?" No, I don't always like it. Well, I do what the Bible says, but I'll tell you this. When people hurt me and I forgive, I do know I have an ultimate goal of them being used of God again. You ought to want people to be used of God. That's one of the reasons why God forgave you. That's one of the reasons why God forgives me. And if you and I are to forgive even as God, then one of the reasons God forgives is because God created that person to accomplish something for Him, and it ought to be your hope and my hope that they accomplish it. And if our lack of forgiveness gets in the road of them possibly being used again, we have stymied the work of God. We're a healing and a forgiving church. I really believe that. People often ask me, they say, I travel the country, and someone say, "Brother Owens, describe your church." I say, "Well, first of all, we're about half crazy." But I always say, we're a healing church. We're a healing church. Down these aisles flows the balm of Gilead. But you know, you can be a healing church, but have members in the church that are not healers. That's called poison in the pot. Yes. Are you a forgiving member? Say, how am I to forgive even as God? Even as God. All right, let me ask you a question. Why would God forgive Peter for his misbehavior when Peter was on his way to the crucifixion? You remember it? Jesus is on his way to the cross. Peter warms his hands by the devil's fire. A damsel comes to him and says, "I know who you are. I know who you are, Peter. You're with Christ." And Peter said, "No, not me. I'm not with him. I'm not part of that group." The Bible says that he lies, he denies, and he even throws a cuss word in there to make sure he can throw them off his trail. Good. Lies, denies, and cusses. It's recorded in the Bible. But very obviously, God comes along, Jesus comes along and forgives Peter. Yes, sir. Right. Why? Because God had before ordained that Peter would stand at the day of Pentecost and preach, and 3,000 people would be saved. And Jesus said, "I've got a plan for his life, and I want to use him. I'm going to use him in a miraculous way. And he's got to get forgiven, or he'll be so down on himself, he'll have so much sorrow, the people around him will have sorrow. He'll never rise to the joy that he needed. He'll never rise to the courage that he needed." And I believe Jesus forgave Peter because Jesus knew that Peter had a big task ahead of him, and the forgiveness would be a part of Peter serving God again. Your lack of forgiveness may stymie someone's energy and their confidence to the point that they never serve God again. That means that you could be partially responsible for all the people they should have saved but did not have saved because you caused them to stay down. I can't tell if it's the humidity or the heat of the sermon. I know some of you are not smiling on purpose. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness even as God. Forgiveness. Forgive even as God because we love like God. Forgive even as God because of what we are. Forgive even as God because it is best for the recipient, and forgive even as God for Christ's sake. Forgive even as God because He wants to use people again. Forgive even as God, because He wants to again be close to us. Amos chapter 3, verse number 3 says this, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Says Psalm 133, verse number 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You hear that? "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know why God forgives us? He wants to be with us. Understand something. The human race was created for a purpose. You go back into the book of Genesis, our church has heard me say this time and time again. You'll see that at the time of the creation of man, they said, "Let us make man in our image." Us, our. What is it? That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They had a very tight love relationship, so tight it's called the Trinity. You can't separate the three. We have a three in one God, and they had a perfect love and a perfect unity among themselves. And then God said, "What I want to do is I'll create man, we'll create man in our image." In other words, man was to be created in such a way that he would be to God what the Holy Spirit was to God, and that he would be to God what Jesus was to God. They loved each other with a pure love, and man was created. Man was created to love God, and man was created to be with God, and man was created with the intent of man being inseparable from God. And then the devil came along and he spoiled the whole plan, and man fell, and man's now on his way to hell, and God said, "I don't want man to go to hell." Why not, God? Because I wanted him to be with me. I wanted man to be with me through all eternity. And God came up with the plan that his son Jesus Christ would die for man. What for? He made it so Jesus died so man could get back to God, and you and I, because of salvation, we get to spend eternity with God. That's how bad God wants to be with you. That's why God forgave. Folks, I need you to, unless it's an emergency, sit still and look right this way. God's doing big business in the hearts of tender-hearted people right now. You listen. God forgave because God wanted to be close to man. God forgives us because He wants to be with us. God wants reconciliation because He created us to be with Him. And you and I should want to forgive others for the same type of reconciliation. I ought to want to forgive you because I ought to want to be close to you again. And you ought to forgive me because you ought to want to be close to me again. Some of you are very distant to the people with whom you're supposed to be very close. Husbands, as a result of a lack of forgiveness, there's a distance between you and your spouse. Wives, I love this. A dietitian was addressing a very large audience in Chicago. "The material we put into our stomachs is enough to have killed most of us sitting here. It will erode our stomach's lining. Chinese food is loaded with MSG. Vegetables can be disastrous to some, and none of us really realize the long-term harm. But there is one thing that is most dangerous to us all. Can anyone here during this lecture tell me what food has caused more death by eating it than any other food?" 75-year-old man in the front row stood and said, "Ma'am, my speculation is it's wedding cake." Let me explain to all of you that are married. The thing that will make your marriage most miserable is a lack of forgiveness. You know, our children live with us until they're 18, 19, 20 years of age and they move out of the house. You live with mom and dad then until you are 18, 19, 20 years of age. But may I say to you, when you get married, you stay married for 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years. And it's going to take a great big old dose of a thing called forgiveness for that type of a long-term relationship. And that thing of a lack of forgiveness, it's someone, some of you, you're too distant to the people with whom you're to be very close. You're to be close to your husband. You're to be close to your wife. You say, what's hindering it? A lack of forgiveness.
Right.
See, remember that God forgave us because He wanted to be with us. And you ought to forgive those that you need to forgive because you want to be with them. You want them to be with you and around you. There's some of you in this room, you need to forgive a mom or forgive a dad. Somebody here needs to forgive a son or forgive a daughter. Somebody needs to forgive a brother or forgive a sister. Somebody here needs to forgive a Christian brother. We're all to love one another. Hey, we're to forgive so that we can be close to someone again. There's a closeness. You know, When we sin against God and we get with God and receive that forgiveness that He gives us, it restores our closeness. It restores it. Forgive even as God. Let me say that I think we should forgive even as God because His Word tells us to forgive. You know something about God? He's honor bound to His book. God can't go against the book. God wrote the book. God's got to do what the book says. Psalm 103 verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." That's about God. God wrote, "I will forgive." You know what? We got Him. We've got God. He got to forgive. Why? He said He would. He can't go against His Word. If God went against His Word, the stars would fall from the sky. If God went against His Word, the ocean would have to be drained dry. If God went against His Word, the universe would fall apart. He's got to keep His Word. God forgives us as to keep His Word. His Word promised that He would forgive. He must keep His Word. Hey, I guess if I'm going to forgive even as God, then I'll forgive because God's Word tells me to forgive. And just so y'all know, I don't know about you, if I try to be transparent with you, but I can tell you some of those other things that I've said, they're okay and they're good, and sometimes those are my secondary reasons for forgiving. But very often I am so pressed and I'm so backslidden and I'm so hard in heart, I just have to forgive because God told me to. I try to reason with me and I'm not listening to me. And I'm coming up with every reason under the sun to forgive. And it comes down to it, and I'm thinking, I am so hurt, and I am so mad, and I am so possessed by this thing. I'm going to forgive because God told me to, and I'm going to do it. I guess I'm a little like you. Sometimes I've just got to do what God said. I wonder how many times it was the same while all of us were rearing our children. Your 10-year-old was not to look back and say, "Give me 25 reasons why you want me to shut my mouth." And you'd say, "Because I'm the dad. I'm the mom." Or better yet, "Because I said so." Say, "Brother Owens, why should I forgive?" "Because He said so." "Say, I don't like it." "Yeah, I didn't write the book. I'm just to tell you what it says." There'll be people be mad at me over a sermon like this. Check it. Read the scripture. See if it's not in there. It's what the Bible says. God said so. We must obey God's word, just like God obeys God's word. Why? If we're going to forgive, even as God forgives because His word said He would forgive. In the Christian life, we often do what we do just because it's right. You don't have to logic through it. You just obey it. Now, if you can logic through it, I'm pleased. And anytime we can logic through it, fine. But His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Folks, here's the thing. We've got to have faith in God. You say faith in what, brother? Once we're talking about forgiveness. Faith that God knows best. Somehow we get to thinking inside ourselves, for me not to forgive, that's best. Listen, God said it was best to forgive. You're not smarter than God. Trust God. Trust His word. Just obey His word. God's word is to be obeyed, even when we don't understand, even when it doesn't make sense. Sometimes, even when your emotions disagree. If I were you, I would not make my decisions in life based on my emotions. I'd make them on the word of God. Why? Because I don't know about you, but my emotions change. They're unpredictable. I think I'll make my decisions based on the word of God. It does not change. It does not change. You're safe that way. You see, I'm to forgive. Even as God. Even as God because of love. Even as God because of what I am. Not what the object is. I am to forgive even as God because it's best for the recipient. And because of Christ and for Christ's sake. And I want people to be used again. And I want closeness again in relationships. And I'm to forgive because God's word says I'm to forgive. But not only that, I'm to forgive even as God. You say, what? The Bible uses the word I'm to forgive all. Matthew 18, verse 21 through 22 says, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till seven times. Peter came to Jesus, and you know a little something about Peter, pretty impetuous. Foot in hand, hand in mouth. That's the way Peter was. Peter came to Jesus, and I think he was strutting his man feathers a little bit, strutting his spiritual feathers. He is strutting around there like an old rooster, and he walks up to Jesus and said, Hey, Jesus, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? As many as seven times? He thought he was something. And Jesus said unto him, I say, not unto thee until seven times. Now, right there in Peter's thinking, Jesus said, no, not seven. And Peter's saying, I realize, you just said not seven, and probably there's a little overkill there. And I'm such a good Christian, and I suggested seven, and probably propriety's four. I'm not going any further, even if you beg. Covetousness is a sin. How about it, Jesus? I'm the kind of guy that can forgive seven times, and I know that's a little extreme. Jesus said, no, you're right, not seven. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 70 times seven. The easy way to figure that is take seven times seven is 49, multiply it by times that tenth, and you get 490 times. Wow. Listen to this. You say, that's ridiculous. Not as ridiculous as what God did for you. He's asking you to join kindergarten forgiveness. Listen to this. In Psalm 25, 18, look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sin. Folks, you and I have no idea how bad we are. And He forgave all our sin. Who sin against God? There's some of you, you're mad at somebody that's saved who did something wrong that you did before you were saved. Right. Sinning against the same God. Now I think you and I ought to behave better now that we're saved. Same sin. Same God. Matter of fact, there are some people that get mad at people in the church who are better now than what you were ever. You know what the word all there in the Hebrew means? All. I have a doctor's degree. I can exegete the Old Testament scripture. Whatever it is that you're not willing to forgive is included in all. God forgives all our sin. We are to forgive even as God. My suggestion is that you and I, that we let nothing come between us or anyone, and we learn how to forgive. I'd also tell you this, you're probably, the quicker you forgive, the better off you are. This is my perception of people. And people's my business, people's my work. It's what I do. Delay of forgiveness is usually mental justification of not forgiving. You hear me? Delay of forgiveness is mental justification of not forgiving. You need to learn to forgive. You need to learn to forgive quickly. It'll ruin you if you don't. Make you sour. I would warn you of one other thing. Anything that some young man, some young lady, anything that anyone else is capable of in our sinful carnal nature, we are capable of the same. I would recommend we learn how to forgive like we would want to be forgiven. And you say, well, I would never do that. You are setting yourself up, my friend. Your arrogance and your pride, the thought that you're a sinner that won't sin. He said, well, I'll pick the ones I do. Oh, you will. I'd be careful. I've decided I want to forgive people the way I would want to be forgiven. The verse, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Listen to this description. Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13. Speaking about forgiveness, listen to what it takes. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgive one another. Hear all those descriptions? When somebody's not forgiving, all those things that are described in that verse are usually absent to some degree from the life of the one that won't forgive. Hey, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I've got some real good news for you. Jesus died for you. He was buried for you and resurrected for you, and He loves you. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you could be born again. He will forgive you of all your sin. He'll forgive you. He said, I've been around some people that won't forgive. God won't let you down. Us people will. So I know somebody in the church that won't forgive. Okay, I'm sorry. Sometimes we all struggle with it a bit. But may I say to you, Jesus won't let you down. If you ask Him to save you, if you ask Him to forgive you, He will. He will. That's what He is. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, if you're here and you're unsaved, I want to recommend the Savior to you. Oh, come and get born again. You come and ask Him to forgive you of your sin. He said, though your sin be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. And folks, when the altar call begins, unless it's an emergency, you should not be going backwards. You should be coming forward. If you're not saved, if you died today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, I wish you'd get saved today. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor Owens, I hear you say that He'll forgive me of my sin, and I want that. I've never been saved. I never asked Him to forgive me of my sin, to come into my heart and save me. I want that. I need that. I want to know that I'm forgiven of my sin so I can go to heaven. That's what I need. Pray for me, preacher. That's what I want. That's what I need. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. On the lower floor, in the balcony, you say, that's me. That's what I need. I need to be born again. I see that hand. God bless you. I see another hand. God bless you. You say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be saved. Well, in a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, the people that are sitting on this platform, the assistant pastors will step off the platform and post themselves down front at the end of an aisle. In a second, we're all going to stand. And when we do, the choir will sing. The instrumentalists will begin to play. The men that are sitting with me as assistant pastors will post themselves down front. And when we stand, if you need to be saved, you leave your seat. You walk down to the front and you shake a hand and you say to one of the men, I need to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be forgiven of your sin and go to heaven when you die. Is there somebody here that would say, Brother Owens, I need to forgive someone. I need to forgive something. I need to forgive it. I'm not telling you that you have to condone it. I'm not telling you that you even have to like it. I think that God just wants us to forgive. He wants us to forgive. Is there anybody that would say, God's spoken in my heart today about forgiving something? I've got to forgive. Their hands up all over the place. If you need the altar, of course we want you to come. Could I say there are some people that are pretty big Christians. They will forgive, but sometimes there are apologies that are necessary. I think you ought to confess. Some of you need to come down here and apologize to God. Some husband may need to apologize to a wife or a wife to a husband. Maybe a parent to a child or a child to a parent or a brother to a sister or vice versa. Maybe a Christian brother to a Christian brother. Nothing wrong with apologizing humbly for mishandling or doing wrong or even sinning. But if you need the altar, you come. Don't push the preaching of the Word of God out of your mind. Let it season your thinking and your behavior. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Sing a song of invitation, if you will, choir. Somebody needs to come and get on your knees. Somebody needs to come and get on your face and say, there's some forgiveness that needs to be worked on in my heart. God knows, folks, I'm not trying to hurt you or hurt anybody. You just need to understand that lack of forgiveness will mess you up. It'll mess up your heart. It'll mess up your life. If you're not saved, come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, why don't you come? If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, why don't you come and present yourself for baptism? Maybe you have been saved. Maybe you have been baptized by immersion after your salvation and you say, I need to find a church home. Well, let me explain something to you. You heard me preach on forgiveness today, but you may come back another Sunday and watch me throw a fit about the sin that we commit that hurts our God. So don't get the idea that there's nothing but a lovey-dovey atmosphere. There is a love that causes this pulpit to warn people of their sin. But yet, if you say that's the kind of church I'm looking for, one that hates sin and loves people, that's the kind of church we are. Somebody an apology. It might be good that you get to them and apologize. I think there are husbands and wives that ought to apologize. There are brothers that ought to apologize to brothers and sisters to sisters. If you need the altar, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. If you need to be baptized, you come. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God. You did it for Christ's sake. He's forgiven us. You and I both know, if we'll be honest with ourselves, that God is to be our standard. Forgiveness. forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave it I in the person of Christ. There are people still coming. Choir, you continue to sing. Another seat there.